Thank you so much for coming this evening and for indulging the very fancy bio, which is, suffice to say, I'm here from away. I'm very excited and really looking forward to getting to know you all throughout the evening. Before I start, I want to thank Diana so much, and also Simon Jory. I don't know if that's the correct name of the person who originally booked me for this event, but this has been in the works since February, so it feels quite special, and I'm very, very grateful to be here. Is that better? There we go. So like Deanna said, I'm here from the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh people. I originally grew up on Treaty 6 Cree territory in northern Saskatchewan, and I understand that I'm now on the territory that's traditionally the homelands of the Kanahika people, so it's important for me to acknowledge that before I begin. There are also a number of folks in the room this evening that I just wanted to do a little shout out to. Nicole Almond is here, who is one of the folks who originally mentored me and got me performing poetry way, way, way back in Saskatoon. So it's so nice that you're here. And Kai Cheng as well, who I had the privilege of co-performing with the last time I was in Montreal for the Riot Lung launch, which is a very long time ago now. So, I think some of you are familiar with this work and some of you are not. So not to spoil any of the poems, but I'm sure what you've probably read, the book is a little bit difficult, and I like to tell folks at the beginning of all the readings that I'm not the slightest bit offended if you need to duck out or do anything in particular to take care of yourself. So please do take care of yourself. The book is a bit of a circus, which is the title of the first poem, and details a somewhat wayward small town gal who may be yours truly, navigating the very, very complex city, queer community, and an abusive lesbian relationship. So we'll go through that together. The most difficult poems are at the beginning, if that's helpful for you. And they're all quite short and sweet, like this evening will also be. So without further ado, this is called The Circus. All those nights, camped out in the field, squinting for a light, a flicker, calliope in the grass. Grease and fire, they'd understand and tuck you into their silken fold. They'd fawn and dress you, glitter and eventually parade. You bought your ticket, held your flag at the front of the empty line, shut your eyes. If you counted to 100, they'd appear. Every 99, you opened up to silence. The field was set on fire and still you stood, wedded to your acrobats, the promise of trapeze and escape artists, soon. Your body changed and bled, and the year came when you knew you would die on that highway, in a truck bed, in a grain silo, in a slough, at your own hand. You left to find them. Thank you so much for your kind attention. That silence is such a privilege. This is called Vanishing Act. She can't let anyone know you worship her. So for your first act, you intend to learn to let her touch you in secret, on the highway, in a truck bed, a grain silo, against the fence, beneath your own small hand. All the places you were meant to die as a girl, and she says she'll protect you. You sleep in the truck, her one arm around you so tight, bottle of hot 100 tucked in her child-sized fist, while the farms grow crystal meth and weed around you, silent. Some of you may know that I've recently gotten a little bit infatuated with the tarot, so you'll notice a couple of threads weaving in and out throughout the manuscript. This is called Fortune Teller. A morning for apologies. Bedside, she names you talisman, charm against her nightmares, casts herself magnesium and heat as your catalyst, your special. She could tell just by looking, and you should feel special here with the mirror's flat nest of glass, your breast speckled red with quarter-sized abrasions, blue nickels across your waist. The square edge of her belt buckle, a shadow, her fingers too slow and rye-swollen to undress herself or you. She was sure you would like it. She could tell just by looking. All the omens gathered to foretell your future. Blood vessels feathering, sparrows beneath your collarbone, hair of the dog, the mirror flat and bright and clear. I'm sure some of you in this room, many of you, in fact, have worked on something for so long that it almost doesn't feel real, and that was a bit of the experience of this book. Special thanks needs to go to Ria Tregobov for working with me for over 2 years on this particular poem, which I think is my favorite in the collection. This is called The Disappearing Woman. With her new magic, she makes you invisible. The women with black eyes do not see you in your bare sleeves, your tired, unmarked face. The women with black eyes can say, doorknob, can say staircase and fell down. She doesn't give you black eyes, and the doctors do not see her, not in your long hair, your good earrings, in your quiet descriptions of pain. They would say boyfriend, they would see husband. She does not give you black eyes. She is not your husband, and you do not say anything. Thank you for holding space. Those are the most difficult poems in the collection, I think, and we'll change things up a little bit. I always like to read this next poem after those because it's about cats. It's very important that you know nothing bad happens to the kids. I promise. This is the title poem from the collection. It's called For Your Own Good. The cats are a test. First, you have to catch them. Brown and gray flashes in the barn, soft pawed, pouncing across sawdust. Left alone with her mother, you bring two handfuls of kitten to the raw table. They squirm and curl against her sweater. You can't yet grab creatures by the back of the neck the way she taught you. It's fine, you won't hurt them. This is how their mothers do it. You still flinch, afraid of being scratched or worse, and what else lives in this barn? Owls, mice, even her mother. When the horses come in at night, how you press yourself flat to the edge of the stall. We're going to vaccinate the kittens down at the barn. You've practiced saying it all day. If you try, you can almost draw. Her mother brings out the long needle, speaks to you in a voice so quiet you know it's for the cats. Your job is to hold them. Her mother's hands are red and steady. She finds a loose nook of fur, presses the syringe down. Kittens purring the whole time. See? Easy. Years from now, you think of her, cat who walks by herself. Once, she must have been a flash in that barn, learning what was cruel, what was for your own good. It's really a treat to be back in Montreal because this is the city that my family first immigrated to when they came to Canada. And I don't believe we were too far from this neighborhood originally. My grandfather lived in a row house like many other Jewish immigrants of the time. They were from Minsk and they were very, very poor. There were seven siblings who paid for my grandfather's education. He got into McGill when there was still a quota for Jews. And they would buy fish at the market every week and then keep it alive in the bathtub in case the money ran out so they would have fish to eat later. So these next two poems are nice Jewish poems. And with that, I would also like to add that the more books you buy, the more bagels I can take home, which will make me very happy. This is called The Yellow Scarf. The yellow scarf makes you look like a brown person, she tells you. Since when have you been brown? And in the dress, you're straight. And the hat makes you look like an immigrant, but your breasts are coined with raisins. Your skin is the color of cinnamon. You are food. Your children will be Vikings. She's talking to her brother about the turkey baster already, but you are seven generations of women who hid under the kitchen table from horses and men, and how is this any different? You and your grandmothers will be gone before anyone notices, faster than you can say, Jew. This is called Monotheism. It takes 3 years to forget her. The first I circle 7 times to cast out the devil. Crush it, glass beneath my heel. Lift the veil, say, this was not the bride I wanted. Until I sound like I mean it, canopied and alone. The second I leave behind, burning, disastrous, a trail of salt from my own pillar, what I turned when I turned back. The third, I arrive at the doorstep of her memory, smear it in blood. Somewhere, I call another woman by her name on purpose. How am I doing for time, Deanna? Okay, well, I'll just do 2 more before we have the pleasure of hearing Peter Norman read. I do hope I'll have a chance to chat with some of you afterwards, and if it's helpful for the Q&A, I'm really quite chatty, quite open. You're welcome to ask me whatever you like, and if you'd rather chat later, we can do that as well. This is a poem about my favorite body part. It's called Amygdala. Every time I read this poem, someone from the audience comes up to me and goes, I am a registered clinical counselor, and you got that exactly right. That's exactly what the amygdala does. How did you know? And I have to say, I paid you people a lot of money to learn that. Now, go away. But now sometimes even when I tell that story, somebody comes up, so yes, yes, I know already. Thank you very much. This is a poem about good old post-traumatic stress disorder. It names you gazelle, and it calls lion. Stomach churn and lung hover. It reroutes the canal of your breath to quadriceps, large muscle clusters, the limbs you hold closer. When the flowers arrive, it says fire alarm. When the new lover or victim sits in the front row, it says brimstone, and it says yes to tequila and yes to shaking. Always knees and hands under the arm of another woman, it will name safety. It says, go home with her. You must go home. Avoid the tall grass and public places, the darkened lot, the stampede of small crowds, and also solitude. Go home, the amygdala says. This is the savannah, and you, a gazelle. With gratitude to my therapist, blah, blah. This last poem is called Starfish. Thank you so much. It's been such a treat to spend this evening with you, and I'm looking forward to getting to know you all a little better. It will take you years to know this body, grown in brush fire, backyard acres. Your skin, dark but never enough. Eyes the old deer plus high beams. Your mouth is for lipstick and thumb for hitchhiking, never at the same time. Breasts are the parts that get cancer. Sex is not the same as what happened to your neighbor in the car outside of town. Your mostly whiteness protects you, but not from the boys who whisper behind you at the movies, snap your bra straps, the girl who throws you against the bathroom wall, calls you a dyke. You are afraid of everyone. Your nickname is Hermit Crab. Come out of your shell, they say. You never know which part they mean. Everywhere feels so soft. You name yourself a starfish, radiating, symmetrical. All of you stems from the hidden salt of your mouth. You are covered in small bear trap structures and made only of arms. You can shed all your limbs to escape a predator. You can regenerate anything given time. Thank you so much.